pass over to Sue.
You know, you have these things on the TV and those useful little people kind of pop out and do stuff for you. Don't worry, I'll sort myself out. Never mind, I should have thought of that one, shouldn't I? They wear those black T-shirts, don't they? Black trousers. Invisibly young enough. So, as you can see, across the week, we've been using parables. Parables to bring home some truths to the children. So I was thinking about the fact that that God uses parables, and so I kind of thought it's a really interesting way of telling a story. And I was thinking about Jesus' teaching style, because you know, there are quite a number of people here who are my friends or who are training to be teachers, or I know a number of teachers. I teach a little bit myself at the university. And so I was thinking, about teaching styles of Jesus. And I was thinking, so what was it that Jesus was trying to get across? So first of all, I was thinking about the fact that he explained the Bible. That was one of the things that Jesus did. Because in the time of Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees had actually made God's truth really complicated. The scribes had written out all these laws and complicated way of living. The Pharisees had kind of perfected it to the nth degree. So actually Sunday was the worst day of the week for most people, because there were all these laws and things you couldn't do. And somewhere in all of this, God's truth had got lost. So one thing that Jesus did is what he explained the Bible in a way that was simple for people to understand. He also told people to ask questions. And he talked about the serious issues of the day. He let people interact with him. He wasn't afraid of questions. He talked about all kinds of different things in the Bible, those tricky issues. Because he understood people's hearts, he knew what they were really asking, not just the sort of questions that they said out loud, but the questions that people had in their hearts. So one example of that would be the rich man who asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" So there were these sort of questions that came out in the Bible. Jesus also demanded a response. So he often in the New Testament, he sort of said, "Follow me." And if you think about the Sermon on the Mount, there were lots of things in there that he was demanding of people, that he wanted people to change their lifestyle. So it wasn't just about giving over facts, and that you would, you know, get if you were teaching in a classroom some basic concepts. It was real things about life and about Jesus. So he made people think as well. He started a lot of his stories by saying, "What do you think?" He wanted people to engage their brain. He didn't want, you know, he wasn't excited at the feeding of the 5,000, that he had 5,000 people there and the people doing the clicking and got very excited. It was the fact that he was able to make all these people think about what they were doing and maybe act on them. He also lived on his words. He lived his words, because that's how we learn, isn't it? It's not about the great sermons that we've listened to. It's not about those things. It's about how we live our lives. And that's how people learn from us. That's how the children learn from us. I'm sure you've been there as a parent, as I have, who've, you know, you've told your child what you want them to do, and they then come out with something, and you think, "I said that," and or they do something, and you think, "I do that," and thinking, actually, they're much better at copying me than they are at actually saying the words that I want them to say. So Jesus lived the life. So his teaching was actually all of his life. It was how he lived his life as well. So I was thinking about parables, because at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he didn't actually use parables. He used to tell, it was much more clear. It was much more straightforward. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, it was, this is what it is. People listened, you didn't have to interpret it. It was just how it applied to yourself. But when he started talking in parables, it was actually a little bit more complicated than that. So first thing I was thinking about parables is the fact that, well, it's a story. And stories engage people, don't they? I mean, certainly I couldn't tell you about probably most of the sermons I've heard in my life, and certainly recently I was thinking, can I remember any sermons I've No, but I could tell you the story about the man and the woman in the helicopter. 50 quid is 50 quid. Who remembers that story? Absolutely. I still make some laugh about the woman falling out of the plane. If you want to know that story, it's really funny. The terrible thing is I'm really rubbish at those kind of stories. But things with those, that stays with you, doesn't it? So stories stay with you. And I think Jesus recognised that. Parables are also about everyday events that people understood. So they were familiar, they weren't fantasy, and they were about real people. And so everybody could understand the imagery. So whether you could understand the meaning, that's different, but you could certainly understand the imagery from that point of view. So then also with parables, as I said before, it's to make people think. But with a parable as opposed to a kind of earlier story, you've got to actually, the meaning's not obvious. And so I don't know if you've really thought about it, but we talk about the parables because, particularly those of us who have been going to church for a long time, we know the meaning, we know the answer to some degree, but how much we understand is debatable, but we do, don't we? And we've got the gift of the whole of the Bible to understand that. But obviously in Jesus' time, they didn't have that. And if you think about when Jesus told parables, when he often had to explain them to his disciples, didn't he? So they were, the meaning of them wasn't really that obvious. So with the meaning not being obvious, how did that kind of translate with the people? Well, it meant that people who were interested could find further understanding in them. So there was a kind of superficial thought to them, and then there was that deeper meaning that all relates to the gospel. So I'm going to read to you from Matthew. I'm going to read to you Matthew 13, 10 to 17. I'm going to read it to you first in the New International Version, and then I'm going to read it to you in the Message, because I love the Message. I know it's not really the Bible, but it's a good translation that helps us. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read this passage to you in the New International Version first, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand." Thus fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah, "You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and in turn I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and hear what you hear but did not hear it." So I'm going to say the same passage, and this is in the Message versions. So the disciples came up to Jesus and asked, "Why do you tell stories?" And he replied, "You have been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everyone has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, no trace of receptivity soon disappears. Any trace soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge people towards receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare until doomsday and not see it. Listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they don't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut, they won't have to look. They won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. But you have God-blessed eyes, eyes that see, and God-blessed ears, ears that hear. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you are seeing, to hear what you are hearing, but never had the chance." And I think that's a good thing to remind us that the Bible is inferring here that because we accept one level of truth, there's another level of truth that God then has to share with us, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit who shares that with us too. So lastly, parables were meant to divide the crowd. They weren't meant to divide them in that they could not in the message that they received, but in the response that they gave. Those without commitment, as we've just said, those without commitment would be caught up in the excitement, but they would never really understand. So I would like you to think today about the parables, the fact that we're so blessed that we have been given easy ways of understanding and meaning. But I'd just like to finish this with you, this verse. 2 Timothy 3 verse 7. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I pray that none of us today will be those people.